loyal listeners. Welcome to today's very special bonus episode of the 10 Movies Podcast. We try to put an episode out once a week, but that is difficult to do. And quite frankly, not enough of you are listening to this podcast for us to monetize it and quit our day job. So, going to be honest here, we just didn't get around to doing the podcast this week. But what we're going to do, rather than leave you hanging, is give you a special podcast from the 10 Movies Vault. Last season, we did the movies of Matthew McConaughey, including a awful, unwatchably bad film called The Wedding Planner. Hemel enjoyed it. featuring one Ms. Jennifer Lopez. So, as we are discussing Jennifer Lopez this season, we thought we would throw our Wedding Planner episode into the timeline. We hope you enjoy it. And if you do enjoy it, which I'm sure you will because we are delightful, you can go back and listen to all of our Matthew McConaughey episodes. So, without further ado, here is The Wedding Planner featuring Matthew McConaughey and Jennifer Lopez.
Hey, everyone.
Let's do it! Why'd you stop? We're doing it. It's podcasting time.
Hey, everybody. I'm Hemel Javeri alongside Brian Minter. Welcome to 10 Movies, the podcast where we dig into the work of one actor through 10 of their movies. This season, we are taking a look at the films of one Mr. Matthew McConaughey.
All right. America loves Matthew McConaughey, and so do we.
We're back. Last week, we talked about A Time to Kill. And this week, we're here to talk about McConaughey's turn into rom-coms with The Wedding Planner.
He's a rom-com guy. He's made much of his beans doing the rom-coms, and this is one of them.
I would argue that rom-com is not his best genre.
No, but he's done a lot of them, right? This is one of his specialties.
It is. So last season, season two, was our Keanu season, and Keanu was also forced to go through a phase of rom-coms that was wildly unsuccessful.
He was terrible. Awful rom-coms.
And I think we're going to find that Mr. Matthew McConaughey is actually the same.
If this is any indication, absolutely, because this is a stinker of a film.
But we're here to talk about The Wedding Planner, which is a 2001 film starring Matthew McConaughey and Jennifer Lopez.
As an Italian! What? Never explained. Why would you cast Jennifer Lopez and then say she's Italian when it's irrelevant to the plot?
Oh my God, there's so many things wrong with this film, but I'm not going to lie, I love it.
I mean, I can only assume it was made by high school sophomores, in which case, they did their best. They produced a feature film, and that's not easy to do.
So do you want to go through the plot, or should I go through the plot?
I swear to God, I fell asleep a couple times. So you better remind us and the viewers what happens in this movie.
Oh my God, once I stop laughing, I will.
So Matthew McConaughey is a sleazy adulterer, and Jennifer Lopez is an Italian wedding planner. And they get together, right? Basically,
that's basically it. So it's
but it's charming. It's so charming. Oh, the infidelity and grimness of the relationship. It's fizzy and magical.
Oh my God! The plot, pretty straightforward rom-com plot, which is that Matthew McConaughey is a doctor who happenstance meets wedding planner Jennifer Lopez.
He saves her. He saves her in traffic.
He saves her as she is about to be run over by a trash cart because she's fighting for her shoe.
Which she saw coming. She was just going to stand there and die to get her shoe out of the grate.
It's her new Gucci shoe, Brian.
Still, you would think that maybe her life would be worth more than that to her.
Do you know how much Gucci shoes cost?
I don't.
They have their meet cute. Turns out that Matthew McConaughey is the groom of
plot
a wedding
twist.
That she is planning.
He's engaged.
They go through all the hijinks that people are supposed to go through when you're in a romantic comedy, and they eventually end up together in the end.
Who saw it coming? Not me, that's for sure.
It's very predictable, and I think you could tell by Brian's reaction that he was not a fan of the film.
Well, because it could have... So I don't think either one of them are particularly good in it. But also...
Wow,
like,
that's blasphemy because J-Lo is fantastic in this film.
You and I could have fixed all of the plot holes with an hour's solid work. I don't know why they didn't do it when they were making the movie.
So again, the purpose of this podcast is to kind of talk about Matthew McConaughey, delve into his work, see what it can tell us about ourselves and the American psyche, really. But you're not a fan of this film. I actually love this movie.
I don't understand that.
I will not say that it's a particularly great movie.
Good.
But there are a lot of beats in it that I think are actually great in terms of romantic comedies that you don't see in a lot of romantic comedies. And to me, Jennifer Lopez is fantastic in this movie. She's not used as well as she could be, but she does a lot with the meager things that she is given.
Well, so what are the things that you enjoy about the film?
Okay,
I'm genuinely curious.
Yeah.
Because I could find none.
One of the things that I like about the film is that Jennifer Lopez is allowed to be this high-functioning career woman, and she does not need to make any apologies for all of the career ambition that she has, right? Like, she is a great wedding planner. She is crazy type A, but she owns her shit. She gets her shit done, and it's okay for her to kind of be hapless in her personal life because her professional life is going so great.
Although this woman who's, yeah, totally buttoned up, very high functioning, very socially skilled, gorgeous, why hasn't she had a date in 2 years? That doesn't make any sense.
Because you missed it. She has been closed off because she got dumped the night before her wedding because her fiancé was cheating with his high school girlfriend. That's the part you slept through.
I did miss that completely. All right, well, I'll give him a pass on that one.
But Jennifer Lopez, when you cast Jennifer Lopez in a movie, you're casting a very strong woman in a film. You're not casting like a weak ingenue.
But doesn't the movie treat her disrespectfully by forcing us to believe that if she falls for this terrible guy that she meets, who he's awful, right? And I McConaughey does not save this character.
No, he does not. And we're going to get to this. But the reason I like it is, like, yeah, Jennifer Lopez is very good in it because she's allowed to be ambitious. She's allowed to do all these other things. Matthew McConaughey, the woman that he's engaged to, whose name I cannot remember.
Blonde lady.
Blonde lady, but she is Pete Sampras's wife now.
Huh, who knew?
I did.
50% of the podcast host had no idea about that fact.
But again, she's also this like crazy, and I don't want to say crazy, but she's also this very high-performing, you know, businesswoman.
Yeah, she's like a comical version of the Jennifer Lopez character. Like,
right.
This doctor, this sleazy doctor who the movie doesn't seem to believe is sleazy, is clearly attracted to this particular type of woman.
I think that the other thing the movie does is very respectfully, to a point, deal with the issue of arranged marriage. I'm Indian, so arranged marriage for us is a huge thing, right? Like, it's a thing that happens all the time. And it, in the end, flies away from this idea, but there is this moment in the film where Jennifer Lopez is talking to her Italian father.
Why is she Italian? This doesn't make any sense.
I actually feel like if I was Italian, I would be offended by this. But again,
oh, yeah. Like, if this was a different ethnicity, it would be deeply problematic that every Italian character is treated as an idiot buffoon.
Exactly. But they have this lovely conversation where he is explaining the concept of like arranged marriage and that love is actually not a thing you feel right away. It's a thing that grows over time and that you put in a lot of sacrifice to it. And eventually love is your payoff.
But as you so, yeah, there's a scene where he's like, I met you, I'm going to tell you, I met your mother the night before we got married and I grew to a lover. So he gives her the speech and then she's like, oh, you know what? I too am Italian, pop. So yes, I'm going to marry this Italian boyfriend of hers has a mental disability that no one ever comments on. She's like, yeah, I'm just going to marry this idiot that I hate, which doesn't make a ton of sense. But then she's so clearly unhappy about that, and then she marries for love. So what was the point of her dad's heartfelt speech about arranged marriage?
Also, I will point out, I've written in my notes, she's not Italian, she's Sicilian. Is that the same thing?
Well, she says she's Italian. She's clearly not any flavor of Italian. She doesn't need to be for the movie to work. Why? I don't understand that choice at all.
Well, yeah, I agree, and I think this is probably just lazy filmmaking, is that her dad is like, we're from Sicily, and she's like, I'm Italian, and I don't think those are the two same things.
And Jennifer Lopez is actually
Puerto Rican. Yeah.
Why not just make the family Puerto Rican? What's this? Could they not change? This feels like the script just fell out of the sky, and nobody was empowered to make any basic changes.
This is what happened in 2001, though. They were like, oh, she can't be Puerto Rican. She's got to be Italian. God knows why.
They wanted to treat the people in her family like idiots, and they didn't feel like they couldn't do that with Puerto Ricans?
I have no idea. So I do like this movie because I think there's a lot wrong with it, but for whatever reason, parts of it hit for me.
Like, so here's one of the central problems with the movie. McConaughey, who is so charming, and he's like, all that stuff does not work. He just comes across as smug because the actions he takes are deeply unsettling.
Yeah.
So he meets her, and we later learn he's actually engaged to be married very soon. And the truth is, like, if you're about to get married, it's a high-stress time. He's got a stressful job. He's not sure he wants to marry this woman. Planning a wedding is a lot of stress. You could have written a way in which he gradually falls in love with his wedding planner that doesn't make him awful, but makes him sympathetic. But what happens is, he meets her, he saves her, they go back to his doctor office. She's clearly into him, and she's like, oh, and her best friend shows up, and is like, oh my God, he's so handsome, let's all go on a date. And he doesn't say, oh, FYI, I'm engaged. I probably shouldn't go on a date with you right now, tonight, my patient. But he just smiles and winks. They go on a date together. The best friend says, oh my God, haha, I have to go. And she runs off and laughs. If he didn't realize Jennifer Lopez is attracted to him earlier, he certainly realized it then. And again, instead of saying, FYI, I am engaged and about to be married, he has a romantic date with this woman he just met.
And by the way, the best friend is played by Judy Greer, who's fantastic in what little
screen
time she has.
She's so, like, I love over her. The top.
No, she's great. You're just a hater. But, like, yeah, what you're pointing out is actually true, which is that everything that McConaughey is good at works against him in the film, which I think is a good segue to our first question. Is this a Matthew McConaughey movie? Or what makes this a Matthew McConaughey film?
Yeah, I think the McConaughey charm and acting skill that he could have brought to this role, like if it had been better written, he could have sold us on his character sympathetically. Like, the way the relationship starts makes you dislike him because he's being extremely, like, dishonest. And the way his engagement ends, again, he's a super jerk about it.
He's gaslighting this woman he wouldn't believe.
Yeah, he's like, I mean, if you don't want to get married to me, and he's backing up. But, like, you don't have to do that. The movie could still, you could get the meet cute, you could get all of it, and you could have written the character in such a way that we feel sympathetic for him. And McConaughey could have sold that, but instead his, you know, handsome, charming, boyish, all rightness is so, like, it makes me so uncomfortable. Like, I want to get her away from that man. But then, as you say, the movie's convinced us that she's Mrs. Smart and ambitious and buttoned up. Why is she with this terrible guy? She knows he's terrible. She has uncovered his terribleness.
So at the beginning of the film, before the big reveal, right? Before the reveal that he is actually engaged to this high-profile client that she's trying to land so that she can be a partner in the firm, it actually is very charming. They have this, like, very short sequence together, right? Matthew McConaughey and Jennifer Lopez.
The first date.
No, not, yeah, the first date and this little bit in the hospital where before Judy Greer comes in. And all of that, he's perfectly likable. You're like, oh, this is cute. These people could go well together. But everything flips when you're like, oh now he's
basically
a creep.
Married. Also, he's a doctor hitting on his patient. That's probably kind of unethical right there.
Well,
I could forgive that.
He didn't hit on her. Judy Greer is the one who, like... But, yeah, this is a weird scenario of everything he's good at not working in his favor at all.
Yeah, because that, like, he turns on the charm, and the movie just wants us to be like, oh, he's so charming, look at him go. But, yeah, I think that's a McConaughey strength, and it is used for evil purposes here.
It is.
And another direction you could have gone, like, either make him genuinely sympathetic, which McConaughey could have sold, or make him a dashing ne'er-do-well, you know, roguish bad boy where you're like, you see that he's skeezy, but you love him anyway. Something else McConaughey could have sold, but they don't do that either. They don't ask us to believe. They don't ask us to notice the fact that he's being dishonest.
They very much put him into the same box that they try to shove Keanu in, which is play leading guy and very little else, right? Like, you can see it in his clothes, too. He's supposed to be this doctor, and he's got very conservative clothes that he's wearing. Unlike A Time to Kill, which we talked about, like, there's a very definitive periodness to the clothes that he wears in that movie. And this is just, like, khakis, sweater.
Yeah, he's Mr. Pleated.
He's very bland. They gave him this weird, bland job that he's supposed to be good at and supposed to make you feel sympathetic for him because he's a pediatrician. Who doesn't love doctors?
But that's so cheap, right? He's a pediatrician.
Course.
He's a baby doctor. He loves the kids.
But it never comes up again, right? Like, it is absolutely useless. It makes no difference whatsoever. So a lot of it is, like, bad filmmaking, and it is very much like the Hollywood system trying to make Matthew McConaughey into something that he's absolutely not.
So again, what did you like? Their chemistry? What is it that you like here?
I actually do think they have really good chemistry. I think that there are enough scenes where J-Lo and Matthew McConaughey are allowed to be themselves, and that little spark comes through. But for me, most of this movie is that J-Lo is actually really good in it. She's got a lot of beats that I was like, oh, if this were in a better movie,
right,
it would actually be really good.
Yeah, I don't actually think I've seen a lot of her movies. And I didn't bump on her at all. Like, I believe that she was this person and just, I don't know, makes bad choices.
Oh, there's some parts in this. Maybe I just watched it when it was a very formative time for me, but they rerun it into the ground on cable.
I feel like a lot of people have very fond memories of this movie from when they were 14-year-old girls and it was on TV a lot.
I think that might be it.
I missed that completely, so I don't have any sepia-tinged nostalgia.
But yeah, in your mind, especially if you watch this at a formative age, Matthew McConaughey is this guy who's a doctor and
he's dreamboat
doing it for love, but in reality as an adult he's kind of a weird two-timing creep.
Yeah, and then at the end, as we mentioned, he doesn't want to get married to this woman. She, and out of nowhere, he's like, you don't really want to marry me either, do you? And she goes, oh my god, I don't, which the movie has not set up in any way. Like, there's no hint of that. And then he's like, I'm such a good guy, I'm gonna let you not marry me. And she goes away, and like, the movie doesn't earn that at all.
I agree with that. I think that the ending, like most romantic comedy endings, is completely implausible. But whatever, it's a rom-com, you kind of go with it.
And at one point he fights her mentally disabled Italian boyfriend for no reason.
Okay, to be clear, he's not mentally disabled.
There is no evidence of that. There's no textual evidence of that. He clearly is deeply cognitively impaired.
There's just a lot of very poorly written lines.
There's the character in the movie. He's Italian.
Massimo.
He's just standing around one day. He's like, I would like to marry Jennifer Lopez. And Matthew McConaughey and his wife go, oh, is this your boyfriend? And she opens her mouth to say, no, he's not. He's just a cognitively disabled man I know. And he goes, of course, I'm the boyfriend. And she doesn't correct them. And that, and some, so he's, and then she's going to marry him. Doesn't make any, it's so stupid.
I love that you're so hysterical but about like, this.
At least that guy wasn't even funny. Again,
no.
Like, okay, have a love triangle. Have, like, this Italian guy, or preferably Puerto Rican, but all right. Have him be Italian. Have him love her, and he's a great guy, or he's nice. She just doesn't have feelings for him. Don't make him this crazy monkey man.
I mean, there's so much about this movie that you're right, does not hit.
Also, that guy's not Italian. There's nothing Italian. You cast, like, I don't know, a German guy and a Puerto Rican woman, and you made them Italians. For no discernible reason.
I mean, it is a miracle that this movie got made. Does this movie have to star Matthew McConaughey?
It shouldn't have, for his sake.
Absolutely not. You could put any other man in this movie, and it actually would have been better.
Why would it have been better?
Because, like you said, McConaughey has this like weird, smoldery sexiness to him that works in a lot of places, but in this makes him look like a creep.
Yeah, it makes it worse.
And it makes it worse.
He can't stop his smoldering sexual energy.
No, he's just kind of had this like, hey, baby, what's up vibe, and it doesn't work in this film. And if you had somebody like Josh Lucas, it would be a lot less creepy.
Wow. Dark. That's a real ding on Josh Lucas. What have you got against that guy?
Josh Lucas is great. But no, it does not need to star Matthew McConaughey. And frankly, it would have been better if it had not starred Matthew McConaughey. But this is one of his romantic comedies, right?
Like, he has an iconic Matthew McConaughey rom-com role.
Yeah, he has a whole genre. I think arguably probably more famous is something like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, which I've also seen.
Where is that better than this one? Because that one seems to be regarded on the internet in the McConaughey sphere. You're making a face. That one also is not good.
Well, you might like it better. I've seen both of them. And I think that he is supposed to play a cad in the movie, and that works really well. Because
in this one, he is a cad. The movie just doesn't acknowledge that he's a cad.
Right. This movie, he's supposed to be just a hapless guy who probably doesn't want to get married but doesn't have the backbone. In How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, he is actively this, like, big shot advertiser guy who's like, I'm never going to get married.
Seems like a strong McConaughey role.
Yeah.
Is that on our list of movies to watch this season?
I mean, it could be if you wanted it to.
Get at us on Twitter,
fans. And it stars him and Kate Hudson, and they probably are much more like compatible on screen.
Now, last week we watched A Time to Kill.
Yes.
And Matthew McConaughey and Sandra Bullock's chemistry was palpable. Like, we too were sweating as they sweated. I do not feel that McConaughey and Lopez achieved the same degree of simpatico-ness.
I agree with you. It is actually kind of kills me because I think Jennifer Lopez could have chemistry with pretty much anyone, but they put her in terrible movies with just like the least sexy white guys. And you would think that it would work with
Matthew. Because he's a very sexy white guy.
Yeah, he's a very, and you think it would work, but they take all the sexiness out of him. They put him in like sweaters and pleated khakis the whole time.
And I feel like they're all, again, the movie isn't well written enough to have a real point, but I feel like they're trying to go for this like Cary Grant, Audrey Hepburn kind of. There's a scene where like, oh, they don't want to dance, but they have to dance. So they're, you know, like dancing angrily. And it doesn't work at all, but I feel like that's what maybe they're going for.
I think that scene actually works a lot better than some of the other ones, right? Like that scene is where they confront each other about, oh, you're the wedding planner.
And yeah. And why is he mad at her? What? He has no right to be mad at her. He's a jerk.
Right. So there's that vibe to it. But there's a lot of beats in the film where it just comes to a screeching halt where they make these long declarations.
Yes.
And Matthew McConaughey, I think we're going to learn throughout his career, he's not great at those, right? It never to me comes off as not sounding just completely fake.
Yeah, but like in A Time to Kill, he's got several monologues, throws them right over the plate.
He's great.
It's just here, like it's such like weak material.
Yeah, it's not in his favor.
I don't blame McConaughey or Lopez for this film.
I actually like the film, so I'm not going to say that. I agree that there's tons that's wrong with it, but all of it works in one big tangled mess for me, much like Love Actually.
I feel like your judgment is skewed here.
I mean, it could be. This could be one of my most controversial takes. So let's move on. What was your peak Matthew McConaughey moment here?
Do you have a peak McConaughey moment here?
I do, and I think it's going to
inflame me. All right, let's hear it.
It is. It's actually a string of peak McConaughey. It's not just one moment, but it's when he starts referring to himself in the third person, which I think is the thing that Matthew McConaughey just does.
Well, I don't remember that. Maybe I fell asleep.
Matthew McConaughey's character's name is Steve Edison, and there's a whole bit where,
if you had taken my daughter hostage and your demand was that I remember the character's name, I could not have done it. I had no idea it was going to come out of your mouth when you started talking about his
but
character's
this,
name.
It seems like such peak McConaughey where the character Steve Edison starts talking about himself in the third person. Like, Steve doesn't like this. Steve shouldn't do that.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Why did that happen?
I actually think it's just Matthew McConaughey being himself.
The peak McConaughey moment for me, yeah, there's so many like dumb rom-com moments. Like, there's a moment when he's like, when he gaslights his fiance into leaving, and then he's like, I've got to go get Jennifer Lopez, she's the one I really love, and he just drives in his car real fast, and he's like, come on, cab driver, go faster, and then he gets there, he's like, did she marry the disabled Italian guy? And all that stuff just seems so, like, anybody, I could have acted those scenes, right? Like,
right.
They're anti-McConaughey moments. The only times in the film when, like, he's bringing something, like in the big date scene that he should not have been on because he's engaged when he shouldn't be dating someone, but like he does kind of in that if you can divorce yourself from the terrible things the character is doing, like he does kind of sell that like romantic, like sexy but not threatening McConaughey thing that I think is a difficult needle to thread.
I agree with you. I think he does do that really well. And the signature move that I have come to associate with Matthew McConaughey, the very gentle pushing of hair off of somebody's face.
Yes.
He does that to Jennifer Lopez, too.
That's his sexy, non-threatening go-to.
Let's move on to the movie MVP. I have one. You're going to go nuts over it, but I've got one.
All right. You're going to inflame me with your choice. Let's hear it.
It's Judy Greer. She's great in this.
She's a charming actress, but her, like, again, I'm willing to suspend my disbelief when I enter rom-com land, but like what bothers me so much about movies like this is that the movie itself doesn't even respect the choices. The movie itself doesn't even try to suspend disbelief, right? Like, so if Judy Greer's character sees, so she sees that her boss, her friend, whatever, Jennifer Lopez is, you know, kind of, oh, there's some chemistry with this hot pediatrician who saved her. She wants to get them alone. She could have been like, oh my God, you guys, I just realized I have to go, you know, do a thing. But instead she, like, deliberately does it stupid, like, I have to go and watch a movie, haha, and she runs off.
I think we're reading it in two totally different ways, because I think she's hilarious. In the entire film, her entire character is, like, very tightly wound, super high strung, and not great at coming up with excuses. But she's a very good friend. That is what you want, is you want somebody to do the dumb shit that you absolutely would not do yourself. And that is what she did for Jennifer Lopez.
You know, a classic rom-com character archetype is the very helpful, wacky best friend.
And the best friend who does not realize what boundaries are. That's what Judy Greer is here.
And also, she is Jennifer Lopez's employee, which makes the blurring of the lines even more inappropriate.
Yeah, she's her friend outside work. She is the movie MVP for me.
I cannot in good conscience list an MVP for the film, but forced to do it by podcasting protocols, I will pick the Italian dad, because, yeah, you can't be racist against Italians, but if you could, he would be the worst victim of the anti-Italian racism as the only actual Italian, and I feel that he comes through with his dignity somewhat intact, unlike every other character.
Yeah, he does a good job. So my question for you, we've talked a lot about how what a creep Matthew McConaughey is, but Jennifer Lopez also was ready to marry this man. They were at the altar in City Hall, and she ditches him.
Okay, the McConaughey stuff is, the character stuff is the worst, but that, again, that's a total betrayal of this character, right? Like, she was going to marry this, like, idiot man-child who just happened to be standing near. She was going to marry him.
I think there's a bit here that is like that he was the one, Massimo was the one who said, actually, no, we can't go through with this because you don't really love me. You actually love Steve.
That's another romantic comedy trope where like in Sleepless in Seattle, Meg Ryan's going to marry Bill Pullman. He's like, hey, baby, if you're not in love with me, go marry the guy you're in love with. Like, people are very willing to just let a long-term relationship collapse if it helps some other dude
in
rom-coms.
Very magnanimous romantic partners in all of these films.
It's just so formulaic. It's like they listed all the beats for a rom-com. They didn't work very hard to make them land. They just hit them all.
And it doesn't do Matthew McConaughey's career any favors because all of the romantic comedies that he's in, they might be like weird cult classics now because of the time period that they were made in, because we don't make rom-coms anymore.
Yeah, this is peak rom-com to America.
Right, but it really is like a nosedive for his career because these movies are not critical successes, nor are they like huge box office successes.
He made a bunch of real stinkers.
He made a lot of them.
In the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, so this is like, again, we've seen it with like Keanu's arc too, which is every beloved actor kind of goes through this period of trying to fit into the Hollywood system and just coming up totally empty-handed.
Did this movie force him into that valley of woe in your reading of his career?
I think that this is part of it. So like 2001, I'm not going to tell you how old I was in 2001, but I watched all those rom-coms, right? I watched The Wedding Planner, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. There's a bunch with Jennifer Garner in them. And they're all pretty much the same movie over and over and over again. And they're just star interchangeable white guys.
Right.
And none of them like play to the strengths of the actual person who was cast in the role.
If you've got McConaughey at your disposal, it would be nice to use him effectively.
To me, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, I don't like as much as I like this movie because I find Kate Hudson's character, like I had the same visceral hatred for Kate Hudson's character as you seem to have for Matthew McConaughey's character. She's like a magazine writer who is determined to get this guy to dump her. So she just engages in all these really horrifying, like needy behaviors. And I think it sends up, like, it makes her the butt of the jokes versus him being the butt of the jokes.
And the movie doesn't make Jennifer Lopez the butt of the jokes here, but, like, her character has no internal consistency. There's no coherence to this person at all.
Yeah, she's supposed to be kind of this, like, tightly wound old person who likes Antiques Roadshow and playing Scrabble. And despite
that's
the fact,
all just frosting.
Exactly. Yeah. Despite the fact that she's like a total babe knockout, we're supposed to find these quirks like unattractive.
Yeah, and I never buy that. Like she hangs out with senior citizens, and it's such a forced, like, she's so quirky and crazy. All her friends are 70. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, there's a lot that does not work.
There's a lot that does not work in this movie. I'm going to give it a big thumbs down.
I'm going to say that I still like it very much. So there.
Again, I want to apologize to the high school sophomores who made this movie. I am in awe of the fact that you completed this project for school. I don't know how you met all those actors and got all those cameras and sets and stuff. Kudos to you. I hope by now you have grown into careers that are more suitable for your talents and your interests.
What's great is that if you've not seen The Wedding Planner, there's a very good chance that E! Entertainment Network is rerunning it right now. Run to your TV and I bet it's on.
Run to your TV and if you are Italian, though, trigger warning. If you are Italian, you will not want to watch this movie because it is deeply offensive to your people.
All right. Do we have anything else that we want to get into about this film?
I don't think so. I feel like we've said all that one can possibly say about The Wedding Planner.
I agree. We kind of ranked it in the canon, right?
You know, it seems like it's an iconic McConaughey rom-com role, which gives me great pause since I don't want to watch any of the others now if this is one of the ones that people love so much.
I just don't think that McConaughey is a great rom-com actor.
No, I guess I sort of thought of him in my mind as like that's one of the things he does, but yeah, not good.
He's no Hugh Grant as I'm concerned.
Yeah, give me Hugh Grant, give me Tom Hanks, give me someone who can really put a rom-com over the plate.
All right, thank you guys very much for hanging out with us. And
join us next week when we will watch
Reign of Fire.
Reign of Fire! McConaughey fighting dragons. I have not seen this film.
Guys, you are in for such a treat.
It's an action movie, it seems to be.
It is an action movie about dragons and the end of the world, starring Matthew McConaughey, Gerard Butler, and Christian Bale.
Huh, how do you like that? All the testosterone in that lineup.
It's phenomenal. I love it greatly. I cannot wait for Brian's reaction to the film.
I guarantee I will like it more than The Wedding Planner. This is going to be the low point of the season for sure.
Okay, well, now I feel bad having subjected Brian to The Wedding Planner, which is one of my favorites. Also, if you guys could please rate and review us on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, as people call it now, that would be wonderful. It would help other people find us. And tell your friends.
Tell your friends, tell your mom, tell your neighbors, tell any high school sophomores you know who may be interested in a career in rom-com filmmaking. They're going to need to hear some of these lessons.
And you can always hit us up with suggestions for movies that we can talk about. I'm on Twitter at @HemJaveri. Brian is on Twitter at @Brian_Minter.
Yeah, there's a lot of McConaughey films out there. The man has a deep back catalog. We are still deciding what exactly we will get into. So if you have any firm opinions on that matter, please do inform us.
Yes, if you don't, we're going to be doing How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. Thanks, guys.